King of the North, Part 2. Subheading, And His Heart Will Be Against the Holy Covenant. As an example of a scheme against the King of the South that did not succeed, because Franklin Roosevelt used his presidential powers to act against those whom he called economic royalists back during the Great Depression, a plot was hatched from within the financier oligarchy to overthrow the government of the United States. It was foiled when a high-ranking military officer, Smedley Butler, exposed the conspiracy before Congress. But not only were the scheming imperialists determined to eradicate the American system, it has also been their intention to control, corrupt, and destroy Christianity too. Because, in their view, the Republican system found its legitimacy in the foundational principle that man is in the image of God. And towards the close of the 19th century, it surely did not escape the notice of the demonic principalities, the real rulers of the world, that a small circle of anointed Christians began to form around Charles Taze Russell and the Watchtower. As in the first century, the King of the North will have to deal with his satanic master's earthly enemies. Hence we read at Daniel 11:28, "And he will go back to his land with a great amount of goods, and his heart will be against the Holy Covenant, and he will act effectively and certainly go back to his land." As history testifies, the Roman Empire originally viciously persecuted Christians, but as time went on, Rome took a more accommodating position toward Christianity, and eventually the empire even adopted the corrupted form of Christianity as the state religion. After King Henry VIII broke England's ties with the Roman Vatican, London created its own state religion in the form of the Anglican Church of England. However, with the reemergence of a lively movement of anointed Christians in the latter part of the 1800s, those in the Holy Covenant with Jehovah through Christ, it may well be that the King of the North goes back to his land in the sense of returning to Rome's original policy of outright opposition. Not coincidentally, just prior to the time that the international Bible students began to promote the original Bible doctrines, the seat of the empire also spawned various virulent forms of anti-Christianity. Among these were Darwinism and communism, and the satanic view that mankind was related to the animal kingdom. Through the oligarchy's steadily increasing control over academic institutions and the media, evolution has nearly supplanted the biblical truth concerning the divine origin of mankind. Also, about the same time as C.T. Russell first began publishing The Watchtower, Satanism was institutionalized in America by the Jehovah-hating spirit medium Helena Blavatsky. Although Blavatsky was born in Russia, her world travels eventually landed her in London, where her occult theosophy was adopted by many of the British aristocracy. Eventually, Blavatsky found her way to New York, where she helped establish the Theosophical Society. Through the upper levels of Masonry, Blavatsky's theosophy has become the foundation for today's hugely popular, multifaceted New Age religion. British-born Alice Bailey was a prolific occult writer and member of the Theosophical Society. In 1922, she founded a publishing company in New York City called Lucius Trust. Today, Lucius Trust is a prominent NGO with consultative status at the United Nations and is a big promoter of the United Nations. Conversely, the influence of Lucius Trust is undoubtedly why New Age pantheism has also been adopted as the unofficial religion of the United Nations. But the King of the North also took more aggressive action against the Holy Covenant. As the influence of Jehovah's dedicated Bible students began to sweep across North America and Europe, initially through such means as the incredibly successful photodrama of creation, and later by means of radio and the printed page, millions of persons were beginning to be exposed to long-hidden Bible truths. And it was not long before the seeds of war planted at Versailles sprouted fascism, the Holocaust, and the horrors of the Second World War as a direct affront to the Holy Covenant. Daniel 11, 29-30 foretells of another clash between the King of the North and King of the South. At the appointed time, he will go back, and he will actually come against the South. But it will not prove to be, at the last, the same as at the first. And there will certainly come against him the ships of Kittim, and he will have to become dejected. Textbook versions of history portray Hitler and Nazism as a wholly German creation. In truth, Hitler was funded and supported by certain elements of the anti-American system financiers. Of particular interest at this present moment in history, Webster Tarpley documents in his unauthorized biography of George Bush how the grandfather of the 43rd president was instrumental in securing loans from Brown Brothers Harriman for Adolf Hitler and his Nazi regime. It is also well known that the ultra-wealthy Rockefeller family had business dealings with the Nazis even during the war. Executive Intelligence Review has researched recently declassified U.S. government documents from the period, which reveal that the Franklin Roosevelt administration was aware of the fact that European financial interests were behind a plot to pit Soviet communism and Nazism as a pincer in order to frighten the nations of Europe into dissolving their national governments to form a feudalistic superstate. The United States intelligence termed the fascist movement of that period synarchism, a synergy of fascism and communism. In accord with the way the prophecy of Daniel is written, we should not expect the identities of the King of the North and South to change so abruptly from one verse to the next, as is taught by the Watchtower. In accord with the true facts of history, the Second World War again pitted the United States against the machinations of the British Empire. With the once mighty American economy mired in depression, and the nation itself on the verge of toppling and bankers' fascism, the King of the North was intent on delivering the mortal coup de grace to the King of the South by unleashing the combined forces of the Nazis and Japanese imperialists against the United States. But things did not work out the way the oligarchy had intended. Their earlier successes against the King of the South were not to be repeated, at least not during the Second World War, even as the prophecy foretold. But it will not prove to be at the last the same as at the first. During and after the war, the American system of economy was once again unleashed, quickly pulling the nation out of the Great Depression. Result was, the United States became an economic and military superpower, and through the Marshall Plan, the nations of Western Europe were also assisted to quickly recover from the devastation wrought by the war. After the Second World War, the imperialistic King of the North found himself facing a new wave of nationalistic pride and economic strength, and in the words of the angel, he will have to become dejected. But he would again go back and act effectively.